live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the health watchdog has carried out inspections at three care facilities in Donegal. The Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson says it's vital that fresh talks take place to address the continuing beef crisis. A former Donegal councillor has hit out at those responsible for the defacing of Giltaw signs, calling the practice idiotic. And there's a renewed appeal for information over the theft of trees at Drumbo Woods in Stranorlar. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the British Prime Minister will travel to Dublin on Monday to meet the Taoiseach to discuss Brexit. The move comes as the UK government has lost its working majority in the House of Commons ahead of a huge Brexit vote later. Conservative MP Philip Lees defected to the Lib Dems, doing it as Boris Johnson was on his feet in Parliament. Later, opposition parties will demand an emergency debate to try to stop a no-deal Brexit. Boris Johnson's told them that would undermine the British government's negotiating position.
By their measures tonight and tomorrow, they would be fatally undermining this government's ability to negotiate a deal. That is the reality. We can get a deal. We can remove the backstop. And he knows very well what this country needs to do because it's agreed on all sides of the House. The problem with the withdrawal agreement is not just a political declaration, it is the backstop. That makes agreement impossible on both sides of the House.
Meanwhile, Midlands North West MEP Mairead McGuinness says she doesn't believe Boris Johnson is treating the European Union with due respect. She says the language used by the UK Prime Minister is insincere.
What I'm really troubled by is that when he says our friends in Brussels, and when you look at him even saying those words, I feel there's an insincerity there, because I don't think the way he is dealing with the European Union is as friend to friend, and also as countries that have been cooperating really well over decades.
The health watchdog has found a number of non-compliances during an inspection of Dunloe Community Hospital. The unannounced inspection took place in July, with the findings published today. Meanwhile, Nazareth House in Fawn was found to be mostly compliant, with improvements sought in three areas following an announced inspection carried out at the centre in June. Andrew Melton Community Hospital was also assessed and found to have no major problems. Catherine Gaffney reports.
It was highlighted that there was a large number of staffing vacancies at Dunloe Community Hospital at the time of the inspection, which inspectors say impacted staff's ability to deliver quality care. While the number of beds had been reduced, Hickwa says the current reliance on agency staff and overtime is not sustainable. The inspector also found that the notification of a serious incident had not been submitted despite timely completion of the notification form. Some care plans were found to be generic and assessment and review processes in place insufficient. In one case, a resident did not have a care plan in place for more than 4 days. Since the inspection, Hickwa have acknowledged that a new electronic record system has been implemented at the hospital and training improved. However, issues with care plans, assessments and notification procedures are outstanding. The hospital also pointed out that three staff nurse posts are still waiting approval. Nazareth House was found to be overall a good centre with good governance and management structures. However, the centre was found to be substantially compliant in terms of the premises and infection control, while medicine and pharmaceutical services were deemed non-compliant and required improvements. As a result of the review, a number of best practice measures are due to be implemented, including the introduction of a new drug prescription and drug administration record.
A link to all three reports is available on our website, highlandradio.com. The Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson says it's vital that fresh talks take place to address the continuing beef crisis. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue was speaking after a meeting took place last night to appoint spokespersons to represent protesting farmers in any reconvened discussions. Deputy McConlogue says Minister Michael Creed must now immediately reconvene talks between all relevant bodies. He says a continuing impasse is adding to the crisis in the beef sector, and that impasse must be broken.
All of the farming organisations were very disappointed in relation to the outcome of the first set of talks That resulted in farmers continuing to protest over the last 2 weeks, but without any leadership voice to represent them. So last night, they elected a number of representatives to represent those that are protesting, and I think that was important because the only place that this can be resolved is around the talks table, and the only place that progress can be made is around the talks table.
Listening to what the farm organisations are saying, the message from them is clear. There is no point in going back into this process if price isn't on the table. Price seems to be the one thing that Meat Industry Ireland will not talk about. We do appear to be at an impasse in that regard.
Well, I think price is key. Now, Minister Creed has indicated that the Consumer and Competition Protection Commission were making that an issue, but I believe he needs to find a mechanism to try and ensure that that is given an airing at talks and that can be considered in some way within the confines of what the law would allow. But there are a number of other issues, such as the 30-month rule, the four-movement rule, and the residency rule, which progress really could be made on and which hadn't been properly engaged in last time around by the meat process, in my view, or particularly in the view of the farming organisations. And that needs to be comprehensively dealt with this time. The only way the beef crisis can be resolved and progressed is around the talks table. And Minister Creed now needs to immediately call all the farming organisation representatives to a meeting with the processors and also importantly with the retailers to try and achieve progress and find a pathway to actually address the issues and income crisis which beef farmers are experiencing.
Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an attempted burglary at a home in the gardens in Ballymacool. The incident happened at some stage between last Wednesday evening and 10:30 on Thursday morning. Entry was not gained to the house, but a screwdriver was discovered stuck in the lock of the back door. Gardaí Sean Sweeney has been providing more details on the case and is also urging anyone with information to come forward.
This occurred sometime between 9 p.m. on the 28th of August, that was last Wednesday, and 10:30 a.m. on the 29th. So entry was not gained to the house, but there was an attempt made. A screwdriver was partially stuck in the locking mechanism of the back door. There was also damage caused to the door frame. So if anybody has any information that may assist in this inquiry, just please contact Gardaí Letterkenny.
Meanwhile, there's a renewed appeal for information over the theft of trees at Drumbo Woods in Stranorlar. Approximately 23 trees were cut down and removed from the woods at some stage between Tuesday, August the 13th and Friday, August the 23rd. Gardaí are particularly keen to hear from anyone who may have observed work going on and presumed it was Culture employees. Gardaí Sweeney says it's imperative that this doesn't happen again and any information, however small, may be vital to the investigation.
As we know, Drumbo Woods is a great asset to the Twin Towns, and it's been many years it's been used by local schools for nature walks, for walkers and for families. It would certainly be unlikely that people would not be in the woods at any given time during the day, although the theft may have occurred sometime in the night. So Gardaí are anxious to gain as much information as possible on the matter, and it's imperative that such an occurrence does not happen again. This theft has been viewed as an attack on the community. Drumbo Woods are an excellent amenity for the community, so any information, however small, we greatly appreciate it if you contact Gardaí in Letterkenny. You know, if you think back, something you've seen there that you may think is commonplace, you know, it might turn out to be nothing, but we'd rather hear that and check it out to rule it out.
The government's expected appeal against a finding the public services card was used unlawfully has been described as troubling and a huge mistake. The Data Protection Commissioner's report last month also called for people's data to be deleted if it wasn't related to welfare services. The Cabinet is due to be told of plans to challenge the findings in the court during its meeting today. Liam Herrick from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties says it sends the wrong message.
What does it say about the Irish government's attitude to data protection? That it is happy for the Data Protection Commissioner to investigate other bodies, but as soon as she investigates them, this is the type of obstructionist, oppositional approach that the government takes. I think it's entirely the wrong sign for Ireland to send out. And this will have negative consequences for the government that are much bigger than just one administrative project.
A former Donegal councillor has hit out at those responsible for the defacing of Gaeltacht signs, calling the practice idiotic. In recent weeks, a number of incidents have emerged of the English translations of Irish place names being spray painted over, and in recent days, a number of signs have had the Irish names obscured. On today's 9 till noon show, Brendan Byrne, a former mayor of Donegal, said this is wanton vandalism which will cost Donegal County Council thousands of euros that it can ill afford.
Those signs typically cost between €1,000 each, €1,200, and possibly as much as €2,000 each. Now, do the maths on that. That those signs have to be replaced. Those signs have to be repaired. That money isn't magic from some magic tree. That's coming out of the council's maintenance budget. And that's the same maintenance budget that in 4 or 5 months' time that we'll have to salt our roads or repair potholes or do drainage in front of our houses and in our community, in our broader community. This is wanton destruction of public property that is costing each and every one of us. And each and every one of us will be relying on services from the council in the months ahead, but the money for that is going to be less because of this wanton destruction by idiotic people that think by defacing Irish or defacing English is going to advance their linguistic cause. We all respect Irish. I'm a native Irish speaker myself, but going out with a spray can is not going to replace the chalk. If we're going to revive the language, and we need to revive the language, it's going to be through our homes by teaching Irish to our children and in our schools and in our broader community. The spray can will not replace that as an instrument of language revival.
11 home repossession orders were granted in Donegal between January and June this year, 9 of them relating to family homes. That's the joint sixth highest figure in the country. Nationally, 314 home repossessions were granted in Irish courts in the first half of the year, 246 of them relating to family homes. Donal Kavanagh reports.
According to details released under the Freedom of Information Act, banks were given permission to repossess 290 homes in circuit and district courts in the first 6 months of this year. A further 24 orders were granted in the High Court. In Donegal, there were 11 orders granted at hearings in Letterkenny, 3 of them in February and 8 of them in April. 48 orders were granted in Dublin, which was closely followed by Meath, where banks got the go-ahead to repossess 40 homes. There were 30 orders granted in Cork, 20 in Kildare and 15 in Offaly. The only counties where banks didn't get permission to repossess homes were Kilkenny and Sligo. Land League campaigner Gerry O'Boyle says he's not surprised by the statistics.
There's a lot of families out there suffering with this. There are only decent people here that got caught in the crossfire thing. You know, we've agriculture hitting rock bottom here down in rural Ireland. We have a lot of more farmers to come here downstream here, you know, going to lose their farms.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Starting with rugby, and Joe Smith has hit back at World Rugby Vice President Augustin Pichot after he claimed that he would ask for answers if he was in Devon Toner's position. The selection of newly qualified Jan Klein ahead of Toner for Ireland's World Cup squad has led to much debate and criticism, including from Pichot. The former Argentinian scrum half tweeted saying he felt sorry for him and he'd be asking for answers if it was him. Joe Smith addressed this criticism today.
He has a number of big opinions, but they're not ones that are relevant for us. What is relevant for us is, under the laws of the game as they were, we're entitled to pick guys who have qualified. Considering he's involved in World Rugby, maybe he could have a look at what the rules were and maybe not have so much to say. It's tough enough for me to have a conversation as I did with Dev.
Meanwhile, Schmidt has confirmed that Johnny Sexton will start at out half for Saturday's final World Cup warm-up game. That's against Wales at the Aviva Stadium. It'll be the first time the World Player of the Year has played this pre-season, and Schmidt added that Joey Carberry could make the bench if he trains fully on Thursday. Carberry's been out of action since injuring his ankle against Italy last month. Cian Healy, Robbie Henshaw and Keith Ayres are also in contention to play this weekend. In Gaelic games, Declan Bonner will be staying on as Donegal's senior team manager for next season. He has had a further year proposed, Will O'Callaghan reports.
Bonner presented his end-of-season report to a meeting of Donegal's County Committee, where he was also offered a one-year extension to his current term. There'll be no changes to his backroom team for next year. He told the meeting that those involved, including coaches Stephen Rochford and Carl Lacey, are committed to another season. When he was initially appointed ahead of the 2018 campaign, the Narossa man was offered a three-year deal with an annual review. 2020 is the final year of that term, and the extension could see Bonner stay at the helm for a further year into 2021. It was a good year for Bonner and Donegal, who celebrated promotion to Division 1 of the National Football League before retaining their Ulster crown this summer.
Meanwhile, nominations are being sought for the managerial positions in Donegal at under 17 and under 16 level. Clubs were instructed at Monday night's county committee meeting that nominations are now open for the two positions. Gary Duffy was in charge of the Donegal under 17s this year, and Luke Barrett was at the helm of the county's under 16 side. And clubs in Derry, they'll meet this evening ahead of deciding whether to give their ratification to Rory Gallagher as the county's new manager. The former Fermanagh and Donegal boss will be put forward by the county management committee to head a team that includes Kieran Meenan and Enda Muldoon. That meeting's due to take place at 7:30. And according to reports today, clubs have been asked to attend an earlier meeting this evening at 7 o'clock, where they plan to discuss the process which took place to select a manager and their next step regarding the appointment. Elsewhere, Kevin Walsh has stepped down as Galway football manager after five seasons in charge. Galway County Board have thanked Walsh for his tremendous dedication and for putting professional structures in place. Pádraic Joyce and John Dively have already been linked with the position. And Dublin, they have two injury concerns ahead of the All-Ireland football final replay against Kerry. That's on Saturday week. John Small suffered a hand injury in the second half of last weekend's drawn game at Croke Park, while six-time All-Ireland winner Cian O'Sullivan is recovering from a hamstring strain. Moving on to soccer, in the Republic of Ireland women's side get the Euro 2021 qualifying campaign underway this evening. They take on Montenegro, a side that were beaten 10-0 by Germany over the weekend. St Johnson's Tyler Tolan, she set the feature. It'll be the first game for Ireland since her move to Manchester City last month. Milford's Amber Barrett, who now plays her football in Germany with Cohen, is also part of the squad. Kickoff in the Tallaght Stadium is at 7:30. Up in Scotland, Celtic have completed the signing of Republic of Ireland defender Lee O'Connor from Manchester United. The teenager, who can play across the back four, has signed a four-year contract at Parkhead. And Celtic boss Neil Lennon, he's been named the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month for August. Four wins out of four games leave the champions 3 points clear at the top of the table. Their latest win saw them beat old firm rivals Rangers 2-0 at Ibrox on Sunday. Back at home, as Finn Harps head into crucial games in their battle against relegation in the coming weeks, the Ballybofey side have been dealt a blow with the news that Keelan McAleer has left the club. The County Tyrone man took to social media to confirm he was leaving Ballybofey due to work and personal commitments. Harps are next in action on Friday night at 8 o'clock when they host St Pat's. And in the Annishowen League, there's one game down for decision this evening. It's the Clubman Shirts League Cup. 6:30 is the kickoff time. Aileach FC, they play Cockhill Youths. In boxing, the national youth boxing team of 19 boxers, 10 male and 9 female, they're in Bulgaria for the European Youth Championships. The squad includes Rafoz Leah Gallen. She's a 5 times national champion and European junior bronze medalist last year in Russia. The weigh-in takes place today. The action gets underway in Sofia tomorrow. And finally, for this evening in tennis, Roger Federer, he continues his bid for a 6th US Open title later this evening when he faces Grigor Dimitrov in the quarterfinals. Stan Wawrinka, he takes on Daniel Medvedev in this evening's other last 8 clash, while in the women's section, Jo Konta, she plays Elena Svitolina in the women's quarterfinals, with Serena Williams set to face Chiang Wang. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the court service has confirmed that a structural survey of Carndonagh Courthouse is to be prioritised. The courthouse is currently closed to facilitate refurbishment works, with all court sittings in the interim moved to Buncrana. Local councillor Albert Doherty is still pressing for local court services to be temporarily relocated to the Colgan Hall. Ultimately, he says it's imperative Carndonagh Courthouse is made operational again without any unnecessary delay.
What is critical for myself, and I believe for Carndonagh and North Inishowen, is that no matter when the OPW have their assessment of our survey complete and they identify the works, it's critically important that the works are carried out and that the court service is restored to Inishowen and Carndonagh as a matter of priority.
And finally, Gardaí and Donegal have issued a warning over driving in wet weather. It follows a number of recent collisions in the county, which Gardaí have determined aquaplaning as the main factor. Aquaplaning can occur when the water separates tyres from the road surface with the ability to break futile. With winter fast approaching, Gardaí Sean Sweeney is urging road users to be mindful of a few basic rules of the road.
When the weather conditions are dull and wet like they are now, there's reduced visibility. So we ask the drivers to slow down and allow extra distance between your car and the car in front of you. Obviously, it takes longer to stop the car in wet roads. So we've attended a few collisions lately where aquaplaning was almost certainly caused the collision. So this can occur when the water separates your tyres from the road surface. Obviously, this can be very frightening. And so should this happen, don't brake fast. Don't pull your sharply on the steering wheel and ease off the accelerator. Let the car slow down itself until the tyres regain the grip. Keep a steady hand and steer with small movements until your car is back on the road. Don't steer or brake until the grip is restored. And beware that the danger of aquaplaning, especially on roads with the 100k or 120 kilometre speed limits. So we'd ask people to check your tyres regularly, and look, it's recommended that you change your tyres when the tread depth falls below 3 millimetres. So take special care, especially when driving behind goods vehicles, to generate a considerable amount of spray which reduces your visibility. Also allow extra space between you and vulnerable road users such as cyclists and motorcyclists. And we'd also ask people to drive with their headlights at all times.
Weather now mostly cloudy with patchy rain, drizzle and mist, but more persistent rain developing. Cooler, brighter, more showery conditions following late this evening, with lowest temperatures tonight of 8 to 11 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the health watchdog has found a number of non-compliances during an inspection of Dunnoke Community Hospital. Meanwhile, Nazareth House in Fawn was found to be mostly compliant, with improvements sought in three areas following an announced inspection carried out at the centre in June. And Remelton Community Hospital was also assessed and found to have no major problems. The Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson says it's vital that fresh talks take place to address the continuing beef crisis. Donegal Deputy Charney McConlogue was speaking after a meeting took place last night to appoint spokespersons to represent protesting farmers in any reconvened discussions. There's a renewed appeal for information over the theft of trees at Drumbow Woods in Stranorlar. Approximately 23 trees were cut down and removed from the woods at some stage between Tuesday, August the 13th and Friday, August the 23rd. And a former Donegal councillor has hit out at those responsible for the defacing of Gaeltacht signs, calling the practice idiotic. In recent weeks, a number of incidents have emerged of the English translations of Irish place names being spray-painted over, and in recent days, a number of signs have had the Irish names obscured. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notice is for Tuesday evening, September the 3rd. The death has taken place of Sammy Fisher, High Cairn, Remelton. His remains are reposing at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral leaving his home on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, going to Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan, for service and cremation at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice Caravany family member. The death has occurred of Pat Morris, 42, Bradkeel Road, Plumbridge. Pat's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from his late home on Thursday morning at 20 past 10. For Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Mildred Heron, Meinty Morrigal, Fintown. Mildred's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning in St. Columbkill's Church, Fintown, followed by cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Kathleen Freel, Neil O'Donnell, 82, Croken Heights, Slifford, and formerly of Castle Finn. Her remains are reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home from tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, with removal at 7 o'clock to St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Michael Lafferty, Kinletter, Ballybuffet. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Shesha O'Neill, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Donations, in lieu of flowers if desired, to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. And the death has occurred of Sean Kyles, Rara New Mills, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at the residence of Barney and Rosaline McMonagall in Rara. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. House private at all times, please, at the request of the deceased.